I'm Steve Potter, and now on Cityscape, the story of an iconic riverboat. If your only memory of the Admiral is that of a casino boat moored on the St. Louis riverfront, our next guest would say you don't know the Admiral. Annie Amantea Bloom, welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
What makes this metal-covered Art Deco excursion boat so special?
It's special, first of all, because of the design. I mean, I can remember as a child thinking, how did they ever choose that design for that boat? Because it doesn't look like any other boat. So it's of great interest because it reflects the time when Art Deco was so popular. But over and above that, it's special because of all of the memories associated with it by people who made excursions on the Admiral from 1940 until 1978.
You've written the book, The Steamer Admiral and the Streckfuss Steamer's A Personal View.
Yes.
And you write in your book that the Admiral, these are your words, became a mecca for social gatherings.
Yes. You never had to say the name. You said you were going to the boat, and people knew. Today, when you say that, people know you've been at a casino.
Not the same thing.
But no, not the same thing. When the Admiral was running excursions, people said they were going to the boat. You knew where they were going.
And when you call it a mecca for social gatherings, it was everything from date night to a place where people met their future spouses and where people ended relationships.
Yes.
And everything in between. Talk about that.
Yes. It was a big place to go for graduation night. People did meet other people. Sometimes they went on to date. Sometimes they went on to marry. It was a place where relationships got broken. It was a place for people to network. Maybe they didn't see each other when they got off, but they networked while they were on there, and it was interesting to meet these other people. It was a safe place. And it was never expensive.
Did you meet anyone there?
Well, I met my husband, but my husband was working on the Delta Queen. And on a visit to the Admiral, we met. So in a way, we did.
Your book, The Steamer Admiral and the Streckfuss Steamers, A Personal View, is full of fantastic photographs all the way from the early days, you know, up until, I guess, just about the time that the Admiral went away.
Yes.
Tell this story. This is a great story. You were a St. Louis teenager in 1962, and you were looking for a summer job one day, and you were sitting at the dinner table with your parents.
Yes. Yeah, the family was at the dinner table, and of course, I had learned to love the river because my father, when I and I would go down there, I was very close to my father. And so that seemed the perfect place for me. And I made this announcement at the dinner table that I was going to get a job on the Admiral. Well, my mother, I don't know what happened to her because she had ridden the Admiral. She enjoyed going there. But all of a sudden, when her eldest says she wants to work down there, she said it was full of gamblers, riffraff. I remember that word, riffraff. And painted women under the streetlights. I guess she had read Carl Sandburg somewhere along the line. And my father took the matter into his hands the next day, got on the phone and made this appointment with Captain Carroll, who was in charge of personnel. And that's how I got the job.
And you ended up working summers for 18 years.
Yes. Yes, until the last year she ran.
Bookkeeping and that sort of thing.
Payroll, counting money, helping in the stands.
And you loved it?
Oh, my gosh, yes. We grew up there literally because of the kind of people that we met and the different types. And really, one thing that fascinates me, I don't know if you could run an institution like that again, because just on the first deck alone, we had all age ranges. We had males and females. We had different races. And very seldom did anybody ever get in trouble. And there was very little adult supervision.
Well, imagine that today, can you?
No. I can't. I can't.
You talk about the racial component. 1962, the year you started working there, was the first year that the boat was integrated.
Yes.
So do you remember that? Did that seem like a big deal to anybody at the time?
At my age range, it really didn't seem like such a big deal because I had never experienced separate facilities. I just wasn't at all familiar with that. But to other people, it was a big thing. And it wasn't just the Admiral. Remember, the Admiral reflects the times. And so it wasn't just the Admiral. It was all public and semi-public places. The city had passed a rule that they had to be integrated by 1962. So for those who had come through that, of every race, yes, it was a big thing.
We're talking with Annie Bloom about her new book, The Steamer Admiral and the Streckfuss Steamers. Mm-hmm. If you have a quick memory or a question about the Admiral, and we're talking pre-casino days,
yes,
please.
The real Admiral.
The real Admiral. Feel free to join us on Cityscape at area code 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. A lot of what your book deals with also is the Streckfuss family.
Yes.
And they were a German immigrant family. They came to St. Louis at some point, mm-hmm. and they had a number of boats before the Admiral.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's a historic family because they ran boats from the late 1800s on the Ohio and the Mississippi, the whole length of those rivers. So they were grocers and farmers in the Quad City area in Iowa, and then started running boats there and eventually set up their office in St. Louis. Started out with a little boat called the Vern Swain. Then in 1900, they actually had a boat built called the JS, which caught fire and was destroyed.
But there was another one, they bought the Albatross. It was a totally different boat, and they kind of stripped it down, and that became the Admiral.
Yes. In 1936, they bought this metal hull boat called the Albatross, which was, I know, it's an odd name, but it carried trains. It acted as a bridge, and it worked out of Vicksburg, Mississippi. When they built a bridge at Vicksburg, the Albatross was tied up, and then in 1936, the Streckfuss family bought it, stripped it down right in St. Louis, right on the riverfront, and built it into this beautiful boat, the Admiral. They had one metal hull boat before that, the President, which came out in 1933.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call, if you don't
mind. Sure.
Because I know, because I've been with you before places, and every time you mention the Admiral, people's faces light up, and
yes.
Everyone's got their own story, right?
Oh, yes.
Let's talk to Michael calling from South St. Louis. Hi, you're on the air with Annie Bloom. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is, I'm the nephew of Johnny Polzin.
Oh, yes.
The orchestra, obviously, and my father, Richard and Eddie and Charlie were the saxophone section of the band, and I think he played on there for 17 years.
They worked the first cruise, I think.
Right.
Yes.
And, I had many, we obviously, because we were with the band, we sort of had the run of the place,
mm-hmm.
and it was fabulous, and we used to go on the boat all the time, and then I think they did Saturday afternoon instead of Saturday, when they had the dance recitals. I'm not sure what they
Yeah, were. Well, almost every day there was a dance recital.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just remember the deco and thought it was fabulous.
Yes.
And you had attendance in the washrooms, which was sort of unusual. And,
yes.
And of course, the mezzanine and the main and the ballroom was
yes.
air-conditioned.
Air-conditioned.
Right.
Yes.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate that. There were five levels altogether. And
yes.
He mentioned his uncle, Johnny Polzin.
Yes.
Bob Kubin, another familiar name that
yes.
people know. Played for years on the
Oh, other. Yes, toward the end. Thank you for those memories, Mike.
Let's talk to Marty in South County. Hi, you're on Cityscape. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Nicole, just a couple of comments about my experience on the Admiral. I started in 1959. I worked snack bar, A decks, port side, mm-hmm. and just wonderful memories. And one of which was Captain Carroll, who liked to fish off the side of the boat before we departed. And seeing him there with his cork and bobber was just wonderful. Snack bar, A deck, as you probably recall, was not air conditioning.
No.
Air And during break, we'd like to sneak up the stairwell on the port side and hang out outside of the ballroom. And as the doors swung open, you got a free, wonderful feel of the air conditioning. And
yes,
it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. Just wanted to share that with whoever.
Thanks, Marty.
Yes.
We appreciate that. That's a second.
Thanks so much, Marty.
Second person's mentioned air conditioning.
Yes.
And also in your book, there's an interesting little chapter you write about or part that you write about when the Admiral changed from steam power to diesel power and how that kind of changed everything.
In 73, they went to diesel because it was more efficient. It was less expensive. But, you didn't have the same – for the crew, it wasn't the same.
Just the smell, the feel?
The smells, the sounds. It was such a smooth ride.
Let's talk to Steve from St. Louis. You're on the air with Annie Bloom. Go ahead, Steve.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Uh-huh. I grew up in St. Louis, and along with the free seats at the Muni Opera and the zoo, memories of going to the Admiral as a kid are some of my fondest memories, parking on the levee on the angle and walking across the cobblestones and having to get to the ramp and taking a picnic lunch and, you know, trying to get there early so you could scope out the table that you wanted on the whatever, third deck or whatever at the back. And a couple of moms had set up our picnic lunch back there and give us a little bit of change and turn us loose.
Mm-hmm.
And the penny arcade, you know, on the lower level, and you could watch the, you know, the big arms and the paddle wheels painted like candy canes, you know, going around. And go up to the top deck and listen to the calliope, which was just great.
What wonderful memories.
Yeah, you know, watching it pass around, you know, come away from the shore and pull away. And then going down south and then standing on the deck where you went under the bridge. It's just wonderful.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate your call.
Thanks so much for that.
Points out just the vivid memories people have.
And it just flows, doesn't it?
Annie, and he talks about the cobblestones. One thing that's interesting, too, that you bring out in your book is that when you were working on the Admiral, you sort of watched St. Louis' riverfront develop, too.
Oh, yes. We watched the city change. The arch was a hole in the ground when I started on the Admiral, and all of the other buildings were being built up. And when we would go up the hill to catch the bus, they would have fences around these buildings, but they would always have peepholes, you know, where you could look through, and I always did that. Oh, yes. And watching the women come, especially at night, in high heels, trying to walk those cobblestones, that was a lot of fun for the crew.
Yeah, my mom went to high school in the 1940s, too, and I remember lots of stories. She was down there a lot.
Yes.
Our next caller, maybe you know, because Ed from St. Louis, evidently his first job was aboard the Admiral. What did you do, Ed?
Yes. My first job, I'm 62 years old, and my first job was I was popcorn boy on the lower deck.
Yes, the first deck.
Right where they also sold stuffed
souvenirs.
Animals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember walking over and getting my tray with money in it in the office
from
over
the purser's
there.
Office. Yes.
And that was my first. I only worked there 1 year, but I learned more in that 1 year about life. I just learned so much about, and really one thing is because I also went downstairs to get the supplies and things like that. And the glitz of the, you know, of the where you were dancing and the reality of walking downstairs were two different things.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a life lesson there. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Annie, in your book, you also write that you say that all the days were great on the Admiral, but the best were dusk.
Yes.
At dusk and rainy days.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, on rainy days, they would pull down the canvas. There were all the open spaces where there was no glass had canvas that we would pull down and made this big boat appear cozy. And, of course, the inside lights would be on. And outside, all of this rain would be coming down, sometimes just pouring. And yet this boat was just bobbing along and people were doing their own thing. Now, dusk, there's just something about dusk on the river where everything gets quiet. And then pretty soon the lights start to twinkle, you know, one here, one there. It's very pleasant.
And we've had two people mention air conditioning or the lack of it.
Yes, yes.
You also say that it was sort of air conditioning. It was the beginning of the end for the Admiral. At some point, the air conditioning broke down.
Yes, it did. Yeah, they were. In 73, I remember them carrying it off one afternoon. It was almost like a funeral procession because in the summer, you want your air conditioning. But they were able to repair it, and they did bring it back. And then when they dieselized her, they put a whole new unit in.
Then July of 2011, this was after, of course, it became a casino. Yes. But it was, you know, it was still there on the riverfront.
Yes.
It was towed away downriver for the last time.
Yes, yes. In fact, my husband was on her. He had been a pilot for 2 or 3 years on the Admiral, and she was towed down. But he got to be on her when she was being towed down to the place where she was going to be scrapped.
You know, I remember talking to Ron Ellis about that. It was an off-air discussion where I was talking one time, and I was asking him, and I don't remember his exact answer. I said, "Didn't they make souvenirs out of the remnants of the Admiral? Is there any of it left? Do you know?"
Not that I know of. At Mercantile Library, we do have a piece of flooring that somebody had gotten together for us and put in a frame. The only problem is we're not sure if it was the real Admiral or if it was flooring from the
You mentioned Mercantile Library at UMSL.
Yes.
That's the publisher of the book. It's available there also at lots of local bookstores in St. Louis.
Local bookstores. And remember, local bookstores, you don't have to go in person. You can order most of them online.
And you and I recorded a television program, City Corner, that's going to air tomorrow morning, 5:30 a.m. on KDNL ABC 30, so you can either set your alarm or DVR it, right?
Yes.
It'll also show up on Charter over the next month or so, and on STLTV.net and on YouTube eventually, too.
All right.
So it's a fascinating book. If you love the Admiral, check it out. Lots of photographs. The Steamer Admiral and Streckfuss Steamers, A Personal View by our guest today, Annie Amantea Bloom. And you're listening to St. Louis Public Radio. What about the Streckfuss family today?
Well, those who I worked with, I'm still in touch with from time to time. Captain Bill Streckfuss, who worked in the same office I did when he was in an office. Usually he was in the pilot house. But I still am in touch with him from time to time. And then his nephew, I guess, Captain Curran Streckfuss, is in New Orleans. Every once in a while, I'm in touch with him. So those are the two that I know. Well, Captain Bill has children, and one of them worked on boats, not Streckfuss boats, but worked on boats for a while in both the pilot house and the engine room. So his daughter is what we call a doubleheader. She can do deck work as well as engine room work.
Mm-hmm.
So those people I am in touch with from time to time.
You worked there 18 years.
Yes.
You loved the Admiral so much. But when it became a casino, you never went back.
No. No. My husband went one time and just to look around, got home and said, "Was there a drinking fountain in this place? Was there a set of stairs someplace else?" Ended up getting out the diagram. So after that, I wasn't about to go. No, I wanted to remember her the way she was.
Any tears when you would drive by as a casino or on that day a couple years ago when they took it down the river?
I did not go down there that day. No real tears, but just a lot of sad memories and some yearning, you know, yearning to be back on her.
Finally, I just want to remind people that the book is so fascinating because not only are there dozens and dozens of great photographs, but there's a lot of text, too, and not
yes.
just personal stories, but
no.
sort of facts.
History.
And history, timeline, and things like that.
And the history came from the Streckfuss papers, which are housed at Mercantile Library. Mercantile is a wonderful place.
Now, you're not an author by trade, as far as I know.
No.
So this was really just an act of love.
Of love, yes. Yes, I was a teacher and a school counselor.
Uh-huh. Will this be your one and only book?
Well, maybe not. There's so much more material.
The Steamer Admiral and the Streckfuss Steamers. Steamers. Mm-hmm. That's sort of a tongue twister.
It is.
The Steamer Admiral and the Streckfuss Steamers, A Personal View by Annie Amantea Bloom. And it's available at local bookstores.
And Amazon.
And Amazon. So we thank you so much for sharing your memories. It's a great story, Annie. It's been a pleasure to meet
it's
you and talk to you.
It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And time now for a look at the Cityscape calendar. The Repertory Theater of St. Louis's production of Double Indemnity opens tonight at 8 o'clock and will continue through April 7th at the Loretto Hilton Center for the Performing Arts on Edgar Road at Big Bend. St. Louis Shakespeare's production of As You Like It will open tonight at 8 and continue through March 24th at DeSmet High School's Thomas Hunter Theater. Keyboard specialist Charles Metz and lutenist Jeff Noonan perform English and Italian music of the late 16th and early 17th centuries tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Tavern of Fine Arts on Belt Avenue. The Sheldon presents a concert by the Cutting Edge Chamber Ensemble Alarm Will Sound Wednesday night at 8 in the Sheldon Concert Hall. And the Peabody Opera House presents the musical A Chorus Line in performances Thursday and next Friday night at 8 and next Saturday at 2 and 8. And you can find out more about these and other events on the events section of stlpublicradio.org. Next week on Cityscape, we'll talk with Lou Ferrigno about his participation in the Wizard World St. Louis Comic Con. And join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he'll talk about water conservation and efforts to improve agriculture practices and water use. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, engineered by Aaron Dorr, with production assistance from Spencer Reed and Greg Muntinu. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and please join us next week.